7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. How you doing? Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Major League Baseball season. No, they played the Soul Series, but the season begins in earnest today, tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockies are going to be on TV.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I think, because many of you have Dish TV, and you will not get to see the Rockies, by the way.
That sucks. But, at least for April.
But we will have the games over on one of our other stations, because we have the NCAA tournament tonight, over on
95.7 The Monkey, the biggest hits.
Yeah, so it'll be on The Monkey tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. We will not be able to bring you a Sunday's game, but we will have tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday from Arizona. Kyle Freeland gets a ball tonight for the Rockies. Jack and Jerry will have it today, or this evening, I should say, 7:30 with the Rockies on deck. That'll be on the Monkey, and we're thinking probably the same deal during JUCO as well. You'll be able to hear the Rockies over on the Monkey. There might be a few times. We'll always try to let you know when they're going to be shifted over to the Monkey. Which, by the way, 97.1 in Delta. So Rockies fans in Delta, you're not going to miss out. 93.5 in Montrose as well. So yeah, that's the plan because of the NCAA men's basketball tournament where we had to do some juggling. And that's why we've had to wait. And like the Rockies waited until yesterday to announce they're going to be on Spectrum. And they're going to be on DirecTV and Fubo, by the way, while we think. Mm-hmm. We think they'll be on Fubo.
They were allegedly supposed to be on Fubo last year, too.
Right.
When they actually had their own channel.
Right. And they were not.
No,
so
they were not.
I'm a little leery to switch my YouTube TV. That's why, good thing it's going to be on the Monkey.
Right.
So I can follow along. But season begins tonight. We'll have our predictions for Major League Baseball, division winners, wild cards, World Series, and our best hitter, best pitcher prediction for the Rockies. Percota has them at 59. The worst in baseball. By the way, if you were just wondering what Percota thinks of the Rockies' chances this season.
I'm trying hard to not be insulted, but
yeah,
kind of am a little.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Yeah, my prediction's a little better than that. It's not a lot. Because there's just so many unproven things about this team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have until we're doing our predictions at 8:20. I have until then to
get it.
Yeah, to massage my prediction for the Rockies. To work on a little bit. So if you got some predictions for the Rockies this year, how many games do you think they win? Percota has them at 59. Ooh, woof. Looking at another 100 loss season. Who do you think will emerge as the best bat in this lineup? Who do you think will be the best pitcher this year for the Rockies as well? We'll have that, but we want your thoughts on that today on the team line, 970-242-1340. So, a lot going on. We'll have John Sedanich joining us later on this hour. John announcing that he is stepping down as Central's boys basketball coach after coaching them for 5 seasons. And the second tour of duty for John is the Warriors boys basketball coach. And we'll let him explain. I think I'll have in what's happening. Mm-hmm. He does. We did not speak yesterday. We texted yesterday. We will talk on the air coming up later on about his decision to step down. Christopher Speller is going to hit the transfer portal, joining Trevor Baskin. And Mike DeGeorge didn't hit the transfer portal. He hit a gold mine.
He transferred.
He hit a gold mine because...
Yeah, that's true.
And for anybody that... Mike DeGeorge came in and turned this program around. And anybody that wants to grouse about Mike DeGeorge leaving, and it should be disappointment, sadness, because Mike's a heck of a coach. But nobody should begrudge him the opportunity to go to a D1 program and get that chance to revive a program at yet another different level. Did it at D3. He's done it at D2. And now can hopefully do it at Division 1 with Cal Poly. And the fact that he's going to make way more money than he ever would have made here in town. That is the unfortunate aspect of really good coaches coaching at the lower levels, D2, D3, because it's just tough to keep guys.
Yeah.
If they do really well, they're going to move on. That's going to happen.
And he did really well. 5 straight 20-win seasons.
Couple of sweet 16 appearances during his time. Mesa had never got to that point before.
Say what you want about, you know, the RMAC in relation to Lone Star or other D2 conferences. 5 straight 20-win seasons is not nothing.
That's not nothing. And you look at who they always played. Those Lone Star Conference teams and like the in the, you know, early season challenge tournaments, things like that. I mean, Mike never shied away from playing those schools early on.
No, he didn't.
And didn't this year, because they played West Texas A&M previously, playing them out in Vegas in that tournament on a high school floor. And I just think Mike DeGeorge has, to me, a just great guy to work with, incredible basketball coach. Going to miss Kyle as well, Kyle Boucher. But anybody that's grousing about just taking the money and going, well.
Oh, yeah.
He has a chance, as he said on our program, to make more money there. He'll make more money there in his contract he was signed with them than he would have if he would have signed an extension and stayed, you know, into his 60s.
Because I'm
coaching the CMU.
And I'm guessing Mike DeGeorge is early 50s. He feels early. I don't know how old Mike is, but I'm going to say 53. 55, somewhere around there, early to mid-50s. And if I'm dating him, I apologize. If I'm overshooting it, that's a decade and a half. He literally was able to triple his salary.
Mike's 5 years younger than me. I believe. Let me double check.
53?
Let me double check. I'm double checking here.
54?
It says here... He was born in 69 or 70. Doesn't have a... I'm looking at Wikipedia. All right,
so I said between 53 and 55.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here and find a more specific age for Mike.
But either... I mean, so right in there.
Yeah.
So mid to late 60s is going to be 10 to 12 years.
Right.
He said he signed a 5-year deal to make essentially 3 times as much money.
How do you
it's
begrudge
hard
him that?
To say no to that.
Absolutely. If somebody came to you at your work and said, hey, look, we love what you do here.
Mm-hmm.
We got a gig over at this place.
Right.
Making 3 times the amount of money.
Yeah.
And you may love the place you work at. And if they can't, maybe you give them the chance to match that. And there's no way Mesa's going to match that. And this is no indictment on Mesa.
No.
They have budget constraints. That's just that Joe McDermott has to work with. And that's just the reality of it.
It's a can't.
Yeah. It's they would love to... You don't think they wouldn't love to keep Mike DeGeorge? Absolutely, they would love to keep Mike DeGeorge. It'd be insane not to. They just financially can't do it.
Right.
And that's just the reality of it.
And I think Mike knew that. I don't know. I can't remember the conversation verbatim, but it sounds like, you know, he got the offer and went back to the college and was like, hey, this is...
It's what they're offering me.
It's what they're offering me. I mean, they can't come anywhere close to that. Really.
And all Joan McDermott can do is go, Mike,
see ya.
Thank you for everything you've done.
Yeah.
And we wish you the best of luck. I wish we could. This is, maybe there was a, here's what we can do. And it's not going to be anywhere close. And so, I mean, not that I've heard a lot of that, but heard a little bit of, well, why would he leave? For a program, it's that bad. It's a Division I program where he's going to make 3 times what he makes here.
And we talked with him yesterday, Monday. Can't remember.
There's
a day in there somewhere.
That was Wednesday,
Tuesday,
but
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Week's kind of
somewhere.
It's kind of all coming together.
So there's that, and you know the fact that D1 was not really the end of this path for Mike DeGeorge. That's where he's ending up, though.
Kind of hoping. You know, I think Mike, certainly any coach, you want to go coach at the D1 level. You want to taste that at least one time in your coaching career.
I'm sure he'd love to coach in the association. Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't want to deal with, you know, guys like that. But that's one of those things to where, yeah, you'd like to get as high as you possibly can in your career. You don't, it's not necessarily what you're shooting for, though. He said it himself. He's a D3 guy at heart.
Right.
D3, D2 guy. Now he's got a chance to turn around a D1 program. He could, conceivably, because everybody has a chance, he could be in the NCAA tournament in 2 or 3 years. The March Madness tournament.
You never know. You never know what might happen.
You know, and for a guy that got his start at D3, that's pretty cool. That's hard to pass up.
And like he said, that he's been able to turn around, well, programs at the D3 level.
Mm-hmm.
With Rhodes and other stops, and then of course D2 here with Mesa, and now gets the chance to go. It's out to Cal Poly, where they only won 4 games. They lost 20 straight to end the season.
Yeah,
their coach was based but they said he's not coming back. Not coming back.
He was canned,
but he was still there.
Right, he was soft fired.
Yeah, and you know they're in the Big West Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
hey, that's a conference where you can get fired and still coach in the tournament, right? Long Beach State.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
So, I mean, there's, yeah. And there's, yeah, I already saw that. And, you know, so I think for Mike, I mean, this is just a sensational opportunity for him.
Doesn't seem like there's a lot of juggernauts in that conference either. Because everybody in the conference, well, it helps being able to play Cal Poly twice, but everybody was between 14 and 24
but
wins.
But if you're not familiar who's even in that conference, Hawaii is probably
the big name.
The best known name in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
They play football in the Mountain West, but they play in the Big West
and
in basketball.
There's a handful of schools.
UC Irvine, once you've heard, UC San Diego, mm-hmm. Long Beach State, which made the tournament.
Right.
But their coach had already been fired.
It's essentially the UC system, the Cal State system, Hawaii.
Cal State Fullerton, which is better known for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's been to Omaha before.
Yep.
And so
there's Riverside, UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah. I mean, so it's
Cal Bakersfield.
You look at it, it's you know,
it's
UC,
open. It looks wide open.
UC Irvine, 17-3. They win 24-10. UC San Diego's 15-5, 21-12. I mean, there's UC Davis. Been to Davis, California before when the Mavs played them in the football playoffs.
Name the town
years
after
ago.
You, as it sounds like.
Yeah. It was nice that they did that when I went out there and
renamed it Jim Davis Day. It was great.
Gave me the key to the city and everything.
One of those big ceremonial keys.
Yeah.
It's hanging up in your office at home.
Isn't there a commercial or something where they have the key to the city and they're doing all the stuff with it? I can't remember. I saw a commercial with it and I can't remember. It was kind of funny. And it had like I forgot who was in the commercial, but it was kind of funny. They got like the key to the city and you're going around creating all this mayhem. And then they go back and they have to give the key back to the mayor. And she's just kind of like, that's something I saw. It was actually kind of funny. I don't, random thoughts on a Thursday morning.
Yeah, that's the dovetails here.
Anyway, I'll have to look that up, but I forgot what it was for. But anyways, kind of funny. 7:14, and we got a busy show. Mark Johnson is going to join us, kind of put some finishing touches on the Buffs basketball season. What does next year look like with Cody Williams? We believe will be gone, but after just playing the tournament, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. And then the season as well. Of course, Tristan DeSilva, KJ Simpson are most likely going to be drafted in the first round. So we'll talk about that. Spring football, Coach Prime. Got to ask Mark about Shadur. That if he pulls an Eli and he's only going to go to certain places, and initially it was all, didn't want it to be a cold weather place.
Mm-hmm.
Then why did he come to Colorado?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Why did he bring Shadur to Colorado then? Why aren't the Broncos on that list? Or it's because it's too cold, but Washington's not bad because Washington's on his list of teams that'd be fine for Shadur to go to. It's confusing, isn't it? When we saw that the other day, initially don't want to play in a cold weather city. Well, you came to Colorado,
right?
And then you list all these places, and some of them are cold weather cities.
And you can't say, oh, don't want him to go to bad teams, because Washington's a bad team.
It's a bad team.
Like, they've done a lot in free agency, and that's nice, but by the time he gets there...
Well, who knows what?
You know, so it's like, I don't...
Yeah.
But again, it's like Dion. It is, here's what's in my right hand, left hand. I held up the wrong hand as I was talking. Here's what's in my left hand. Pay no attention to what's in my right hand. And then it's, why are you focused on my left hand? You should be looking at my right hand. That's what kind of Dion's all about.
Yeah.
It is, he says so much and he talks so much, there's no way he can possibly keep it all straight. And this is what happens.
Yeah, there's some, it's, you know, some conflicting things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we will find out what Mark has to say about some of those things, about the Buffs, what next year looks like for Colorado basketball as well. All right, 7:16, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy can give us your predictions on the Rockies, Major League Baseball season. Once again, the Rockies, Arizona tonight on the Monkey, 95.7 here in the Valley, 97.1 in Delta, 93.5 in Montrose, with pregame at 7:30 for that. All right, it's time for...
What's happening?
And it's brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently, giving you peace of mind so you can focus on growing your business. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity backup and disaster recovery, servicing the Western Slope. Call them today, 970-242-8142. You're going to ComWestCorp.com. On the day before the start of the season, Colorado Rockies announced they'll be available on TV. The team announced games will be on Spectrum Cable on channels 130 or 445. Will also be on DirecTV and the streaming service Fubo. Games will not be available on Dish TV. Rockies finished second behind the LA Dodgers in the Cactus League with a 17-12 record. Veteran lefty Cal Freeland gets the start in the opener tonight in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. You can hear tonight's game and tomorrow and Saturday's games on the Monkey. With pregame tonight at 7:30, the Monkey is 95.7 in the Valley, 97.1 in Delta, 93.5 in Montrose. Kevin Durant's double-double of 30 points and 13 rebounds led Phoenix to a 104-97 win over the Nuggets last night in Denver. The Western Conference leading Nuggets played without guard Jamal Murray for the third straight game as he deals with a sprained left ankle. Nikola Jokic played but was dealing with lower back pain and left hip soreness. He still scored 22 points and added 9 rebounds and 10 assists. Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament begins today on the Team Sports Network. We're going to talk with Tom Hudson of Gonzaga at 9:20 this morning. They get Purdue today, and so in the Sweet 16. So we'll talk with Tom Hudson. But coverage on the team today starts at 4 o'clock. Denver Broncos have added some veteran wide receiver depth with the signing of former Detroit receiver Josh Reynolds. The 7-year veteran free agent caught 40 passes for 608 yards and 5 touchdowns in helping the Lions win the NFC North and go to the NFC Championship game. Several outlets report the deal with Denver is for 2 years and $14 million. Central High School is looking for a new head boys basketball coach after John Sedanich informed the school he's stepping down. In a text conversation with the team, Sedanich stated he's retiring from teaching at the end of this school year, and he feels it's time to step aside. After previously coaching the Warrior Boys, he returned to be the team's head coach 5 years ago when Ryan Hayden left to become Fertile Monuments coach. He guided Central to the state tournament 3 straight years. In a preview of next year's Southwestern League, the Grand Junction Tigers baseball team defeated Palisade 5-4 at Saplesio last night, tied at 4 in the sixth inning. Grand Junction advance would be the game-winning run on a pass ball before sealing the game in the seventh. Tigers coach Cy Espinoza liked how his team competed last night.
We knew it was going to be a grind. Looking at the scoreboard, I think we were 5-5 on hits and 2-2 on errors. We knew it was going to be intense. We stressed that, having quality at-bats and getting into bullpens, and we were able to accomplish that. And Easton Embry, he's a heck of a pitcher.
The win improves Grand Junction to 6-2. Bulldogs fall to 3-3-1. Tigers hit the road for non-league play against Rocky Mountain next Friday. Palisade hosts a doubleheader Saturday against Steamboat Springs. You can add guard Christopher Speller to the list of those leaving Colorado Mesa men's basketball team. On his X feed, Speller announced he's leaving the Mavericks and entering the transfer portal. Speller joins teammate Trevor Baskin, who plans on transferring to a D1 program, and coach Mike DeGeorge, who's taken the job at D1 Cal Poly. Speller averaged almost 14 points per game in CMU's 6 postseason games. He was the RMAC Freshman of the Year and was named RMAC Honorable Mention twice. Carter Mesa softball player Maya Arrieta is the Louisville Slugger NFCA National Player of the Week. The former Central Warrior tied a school record with 3 home runs in a game in the Mavs sweep of Black Hill State. She hit 8 home runs and hit 812 in the series sweep of the Yellow Jackets. She also won the Louisville Slugger Award earlier this month and is just the second CMU player to win it twice. Carter Mesa center fielder Rob Sherrar is the RMAC Player of the Week for the second straight week. Sherrar hitting 647 with 4 doubles and a triple and 2 home runs in the Mavs sweep of Colorado Christian. He also knocked in 7 runs and scored 7 runs in the series. The RMAC leading Mavs start a series at Regis today. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow with IT solutions. Call them today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, we'll take a break. Mark Johnson joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic.
Not just crap today.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team. It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
And joining us right now on the team line, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Jim, good morning. Good to be on with you.
Always great to talk with you, as I'm sure you were hoping, as I was hoping as well, we'd be talking about talking to you on the road with the Buffs in the Sweet 16. But unfortunately, that came to an end against Marquette last Sunday. And but still, what an incredible season for Colorado. Back-to-back wins in the tournament the first time since, 1955. They were able to get back-to-back NCAA tournament wins, the win against Boise State, and obviously that thrilling victory against Florida. But still some disappointment, certainly, because I think that the talent was there for Colorado to make a much deeper run.
Well, it was. Great year. Here's the thing about it, you find out. I've done a number of shows this week. Everybody, when you're playing that deep into a tournament, is really good. And, Marquette's a great team. I thought that game, the Florida game is what everyone talks about because it was exciting and it was high-scoring and fast-paced, and KJ hits the game-winner. I thought that game on Sunday against Marquette was a high-level college basketball game. I thought that had the feel of a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four kind of game, because here's the thing about Marquette. They don't let you breathe. And what I mean by that is every trip up and down the court is exceptionally important. And games like that, I did a show on KOA on Monday, and the host asked me, what was the difference between the win against Florida and the loss against Marquette? And I said, same thing it always is when you get to this time of year. You make a play or you don't make a play. And Colorado had, 3 good looks, wide open looks on threes late in the game that might have won that game against Marquette, and they didn't hit them. And Marquette did hit a couple of shots. So, it's disappointing. I wish we were, down in Dallas right now getting ready for a Sweet 16 game. And I've always wanted that for Tad, that he could make a late run. But, boy, that was a hell of a run down the stretch, winning 10 of 12.
Tyler Kolick, holy cow. I've never seen a guy as good with his left hand that's not predominantly left-handed as Tyler Kolick.
He is left-handed, but
I've never seen a guy that good. I'm sorry. I forgot that he was left-handed. I thought he was a right-handed guy. But he's so good at his left hand. And they tried to keep him from going to his left. And he just time and time again made sensational plays with his left hand.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And, I'll tell you the story. So the Florida game, we sit down to start getting ready for our broadcast on Friday. And they're just starting the second half, and so I'm kind of getting my stuff ready, and we're all sitting there chatting, and I'm kind of half paying attention. And finally, about the third or fourth trip, I'm up and down the court, I'm like, who in the heck is that number 11? Jeez, he's good. And then I start really watching him. And another 3 or 4 trips goes up and down the court, I'm like, what in the... So I reach over and I grab some Marquette notes that I grabbed because I figured we'd play either Marquette or Western Kentucky, obviously. And I flip it. I'm like, oh, he's the second-team All-American. Oh, he leads the nation in assists. And I was extremely impressed by him. And you're right. I had fans afterward. He kept going left. Why didn't they stop that? Yeah, they were trying to. If you watch the game, they were overplaying his left hand. And then, he was so crafty. And he is... He's really impressive, and I said on the broadcast, I said he's got kind of a Steve Nash, John Stockton, Chris Paul kind of feel to him because he sees the court so incredibly well. And, he was spectacular. And listen, Marquette's a national championship caliber team, and he's a big reason why.
Mark Johnson, voice of Buffalo, is with us today. So before we talk about Tristan and KJ and Cody and what's going to happen with them, we do have to mention that, at least according to John Rothstein from CBS, that Eddie Lampkin, Javon Hadley are going to enter the transfer portal. So
and Luke O'Brien as well, by the way.
And Luke's going to go as well. So so and the three guys I just mentioned with Tristan Da Silva, KJ Simpson, Cody Williams, all expected to be drafted. And so, like a lot of basketball programs right now, Mark, Dad Boyle faces the challenge of trying to restock the groceries over at CU.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and by the way, you know, the panic was setting in with Buff fans, you know, yesterday. And I said, none of this was unexpected. And, you know, there was a show I was on, I won't say who it was, and he was like, oh, Eddie just seemed like he loved it. And I said, okay, stop with the whole seemed thing. Stop with the I felt. You're speaking about emotion. You're getting emotionally caught up in this, and you thought just because a guy did certain things, you thought he was something. Haven't you learned enough lessons about that? You don't make those kind of judgments, okay? And I'm not being critical of Eddie in any way, shape, or form. Well, what Eddie's doing, Eddie is in this day of college athletics we're in, Eddie's going to go and see what the biggest payday he can find. That's what he's doing. He's going to go see what the biggest paycheck he can possibly find out there he is. Because here's the thing about Eddie. We love him, and I loved watching him. I thought he was a phenomenal piece. He's not an NBA player, okay?
No.
So that payday's not coming for him. So Eddie's looking for the payday right now that he can find out there to get him the biggest chunk of change. Javon Hadley, I think Javon's an interesting guy to me. He was a wonderful player and a very nice kid. He had in just kind of a different way of dealing with things. And I thought at one point, late in the season, I thought, you know what, I think he's going to go just see if he can find one more year someplace else. Luke O'Brien graduated. He's going to graduate. He's got his degree and all that. And so like a lot of these guys, they kind of look at it and say, you know, I did my 4 years. I got my degree. I did everything I was supposed to do. And it might be kind of fun just to go see what I can do someplace else one more year. So none of these are surprises. And in terms of the other three guys, listen, Cody's going to be a lottery pick. You know, Tristan Da Silva, I've seen him projecting the top 15 to 17, 18, kind of in that range. KJ is going to go test the waters, and chances are he's going to jump to the NBA as well. So none of this is really surprising if you were really paying attention during the season. And it is what it is in college athletics. I had one fan that was particularly over the line, just going out of his mind. I said, just relax. Have you noticed it's happening everywhere?
Yeah. It's not just Colorado. It's everywhere.
What's Tad doing? What is he? Why is he doing it? Hey, listen, everyone's doing this. It's happening everywhere. Players from – I saw John Rothstein, I think it was yesterday, put out one of the top players in the SEC from South Carolina, phenomenal player, all-conference, getting huge NIL money, and he jumped. And the guy's like – and Rothstein's like, what? Why? What are you going after? And I think what we're seeing here is a real grass is greener type of mentality out there with these young guys.
And no doubt about it. And in the case of Cody Williams, where I know he's going to be a lottery pick because of the potential, the way he played in the tournament, let's just be fair, kind of like Isaiah Stevens for Colorado State, did not have a particularly great tournament. I guess in Cody, I don't – they're going to draft him on his potential. They're not. I don't think most NBA teams are going to look at, those numbers weren't exactly scintillating in the NCAA tournament. Do you think the way he played in the tournament is going to have much of an impact on how NBA teams view him?
No, and here's the reason. He was coming back from injury. If you noticed this, he progressively went through the postseason and got better. And so his defense was actually very, very good the last couple of ball games. Mm-hmm. Offensively, he made some strides. If you noticed in the I'm getting my games mixed up. I think it was the Marquette game. He had a couple of big buckets. So he still did things that you look at from a potential standpoint. That's what people have to understand. They're not drafting the player. They're drafting what the player is going to be.
Right.
And people need to understand that. This is not 1985 anymore, okay? It's a totally different deal. They look at the player and say, we see potentially what he could. You know, somebody once, I talked to a scout earlier this year about, you know, Brandon Carlson, the big seven-footer at Utah, who's an outstanding player. I said, what do you think of him? They're like, no interest. I said, no interest. They're like, he's fine. You know, he may land someplace, but we know what he is. He's already 24 years old. We know what he is. His ceiling is 2 inches above where he is right now. Cody Williams' ceiling is a mile and a half above where he is right now. So that's what they draft. And that's why, you know, with fans, I had dinner with a guy, a booster, the other night in Indianapolis, and he was going on and on about, I just don't see it. It's not there. He's not a good player. Hey, you're not paying attention. Look for the potential. What do you see? He makes moves every once in a while that are otherworldly.
Absolutely.
He's got phenomenal length. He's got, he can shoot. He can put it on the floor. He can defend all the things you're looking for in an NBA player. It's raw right now. He's going to be a great player. That's what they're drafting.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, yeah, you watch, like you said, there are moments you just go, holy cow.
Yes.
This kid's really good. And
every once in a while, he does something on occasion. And Scott and I, we snap our heads around, look at each other, sit in seven, like, oh, I can't believe what he just did right there. And a lot of times there's subtle things that the average fan is just looking, does he hit the three? Does he get a dunk? Does he get a block? They're looking for that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the little things. The feet are amazing on him. And the way he handles the ball are really, really high level. And so that's why they're so high on him.
All right, Mark, ask you one final thing about basketball before we wrap it up with a couple of quick football questions. Did KJ shove off the Florida player? Now that it's all done, you were there. Did he look to me like I slipped? I kind of agree with KJ on that. I think he slipped a little bit.
Did he? Oh, sure he did. Yeah. And it happens all the time. And, you know, the one we all think about, of course, is the Michael Jordan and Byron Russell, right?
Yeah.
And that was an enormous push-off. This was a nudge. And if you go back and look at that, did he extend the hand? Absolutely not. Did he extend the elbow? Yes, he did. And that's pretty a commonplace play. And so, you know, in my view, that's a play that happens, a dozen times every single game, and nobody thinks twice about it.
Yeah,
but he created space, Jim. That's how we put it
exactly.
Kind of indicate it wasn't illegal.
Florida player slipped a little bit.
Yep.
JJ may give him a little, you know, little soft elbow, little, you know, just a little separation. It was just a cold blooded killer shot at the end of the game.
I tell you what, that's going to go down, and I mentioned this on the air. When we think of great moments in Colorado sports history. Obviously you got in Michigan, the miracle of Michigan, you've got, going over 2,000 yards for Rashawn, you know, those different things that have happened within the history. Zim once said to me towards the end when Zim and I were talking, he goes, you know, you haven't had a chance to call many of those moments. You know, Zim got a chance to call a bunch of them early in his career. And that was one of them the other day. I mean, that's one of those we'll talk about for 25 years, that shot he made against Florida.
See your voice, Mark Johnson, with us today. Buffs have the spring game coming up on April 27th. And, of course, Buffs at work at spring ball. And Deion Sanders making some interesting comments that have grabbed national attention, as he tends to do, with, of course, his son, Shedeur Sanders, and also Travis Hunter, making the comment on a podcast that, you know, it depends on who drafts them, that certain places he doesn't want either one of those guys to go to in the NFL, and he's not afraid, you know, for them to pull an Eli, referring to Eli Manning when he decided he didn't want to go to the Chargers and got traded to the Giants, that he's not afraid to encourage those guys to do that, or at least he feels like they should consider not playing for certain teams, particularly cold weather teams. But Mark, I have to ask the question, if he doesn't want Shedeur to play for a cold weather team, why'd he come to Colorado?
Well, first, I thought when you said he made national news, I thought you were going to talk about him getting lost in the Dominican Republic jogging yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. Oh no,
did you see that?
Did they find him? I hope they found Coach Prime.
Well, he actually, and I'll get back to what you asked me about. But yeah, he apparently went jogging. And by the way, it looked like, I think he was staying at a high level resort. Not surprisingly. And so it's not like he was out, in the backwoods someplace. But he apparently got lost and couldn't find his way back. And then it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then he noticed that somebody was kind of, he thought they might be stalking him. And then so he had to get a hold of Bucky so that Bucky could talk him what did they call it? Putting a pin. Yeah. Send him a pin from his phone so they could come and find him. And I thought, well, why didn't you just have Bucky send you a pin, and then you could have just followed that back too? But nonetheless,
yeah.
It was very, very funny. He was doing a live video expressing how he was very concerned that he was lost in the Dominican Republic. But now getting back to the other thing, fantastic. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting when he named the cities that Shedeur or Travis could play for, and he didn't want to be in a cold weather city, and he didn't name Denver where he lives right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned Washington, and it was like, well, what? It's not balmy in 85 in Washington every NFL season. I mean, that's East Coast. It's cold weather, man. That's...
Well, and by the way, about the coldest place I've ever been was at a game at Candlestick in San Francisco, by the way.
Yeah.
Not like that's a balmy place all the time either.
No kidding. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. So, but April 27th, the spring game coming up, and do you think it'll match the fanfare of last year?
Well, you know, they got a little wing concert that's going to happen after the game. And then I have heard they're talking a talent show or a fashion show on Friday night. They have an alumni event. So, yeah, I think it's going to match the fanfare. I mean, he's creating quite an event. It's not just a spring game. It is a weekend at the University of Colorado for the spring game festivities. It's one of those things where it's a great weekend. Oh, by the way, we're going to have a spring game on top of it. So
we're going to play a little football, a little practice football. This will make sense as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be quite the ordeal. And you know, he was talking about having a concert. I think it's out now. I don't think I'm breaking any news here that Lil Wayne is going to be having a concert after the spring game that Saturday night. So I don't know that I'll be attending that, but it'll be a huge event, I know.
For the fashion show, will Mark Johnson be up there on the runway showing off some duds?
That will not be happening.
Okay, it's the greater likelihood you attending the Lil Wayne concert or being in the fashion show. Neither one, I think, my man, have probably particularly good odds.
That's a very good question, Jim. And I don't know that I've got a really good answer for you. But, yeah, what's the old line about Slim and Dunn and Slim just left town, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of deals. I think probably on both of those. Although you never know. Maybe I'll be recruited to come in and MC or something.
Yeah, you could do that. See, there you go. That'd be the way to work into the fashion show.
There you go.
Hey, Mark, hope you and the family have a wonderful Easter. Always appreciate it. Thank you so much, my friend.
Same to you, Jim. See you.
All right, take care. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes. Knowing the Lil Wayne, knowing the fashion show. For the CU spring game. All right, joining us right now. Central boys basketball coach, well now former Central boys basketball coach, John Sedanich. John, appreciate you coming on for a few minutes this morning.
Yeah, Jim, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So we texted yesterday and communicated back and forth a little bit. So you've decided that the time has come to not only end your coaching career, but also your teaching career. You're going to retire, and you felt like it's probably time for both of those things to come to an end for John Sedanich.
Yeah, I, you know, spent a lot of time after the season, and I've known from the beginning of the year that this is going to be my last year of teaching, and kind of going back and forth about I really wanted to keep coaching next year, but just the more and more I thought about it, I just think our program's in a good spot, and it's going to be a good time to just kind of step away.
So this was, of course, your second tour of duty. You came on to coach when Ryan Hayden left to go to Fertile Monument, and three straight trips to the state basketball tournament. And like you said, I feel like that you came in, and it's always, I think, the goal of anybody, no matter what they do, is they like to leave something better than they found it. And not that Ryan had a tremendous run there. The program was in really good shape. But you leave it at least in as good a shape as you found it when you took over.
Yeah, so there was, don't forget, there's those 2 years. So actually, Josh took over for Ryan.
Well, that's right, Josh. I'm sorry, it was Ryan, then Josh. That's right.
Yeah, so Josh had a couple years, and then he got the athletic director job, and then so then I took over. Yeah, and I don't know, Jim. I always, having to do that, getting to do this the first time when I was young, and then first time I didn't really get to leave on my terms. I don't know, this was, to me, it was always kind of, I kind of felt like a bonus time. I really enjoyed it and had a lot more fun this time. And, we had, I think after Coach Hayden left, we had four tough years there and then kind of turned it around again. So hopefully our program's in a spot where it can keep moving forward.
For you, as I mentioned, the three straight trips to the state basketball tournament, just maybe a couple of thoughts, John, about that. I mean, because that's, and getting the program back to being a consistent contender for postseason play, that was obviously one of your goals, and maybe just your thoughts on that, and also just on, on a couple of memories of coaching this team, getting back to this program the second time around.
I think, you know, getting to the playoffs, obviously the ultimate goal. I think winning a Southwestern League championship is, you know, always up there, right there. And the last few years, it's been really hard to do that with the great Montrose teams and the great Fruita teams. And so we threw a second place finish in there one year, but last year was a really special year for us. We did the year with Braylon and Braylon Scott and Andrew Serrano and Santana Martinez and Christian Miller, and I'm sure, you know, and then Cam and those seniors we had this year came off the bench for us. And last year was obviously probably the most memorable year, but, you know, these guys that, these seniors that are graduating this year, they were always been a special group for me. They, you know, my son being one of them, and I've known all those kids since they were going to school over here at, you know, at Thunder Mountain and Fruitvale and the elementary schools in our area. So I've known them for a really long time.
John Sedanich deciding to step down as the Central Boys basketball coach because he's also retiring from teaching as well. And John, I think, you know, whoever ends up taking over the program, got some good talent coming back, certainly, with Blake Rooks, Brian Rooks' son, who got off to a really good start, then had to deal with some injury issues throughout the course of the season. But, you know, so there's some good players coming back, but also lose some talented players in Cam Redding and you know, guys like that. Asher Carter is coming back. He'll be a junior this next season, so he'll be a big part of of what they do, whoever takes over this program going forward. But you also have the chance to coach your son as well, and I'm sure that'd be a nice way to finish things off for your teaching career, your coaching career, getting to coach your son Avery in his final season.
Yeah, that wasn't always easy. I think most coaches, I think in the moment it's never easy, and then when you sit back and look at it, you realize you're one of the few that, you know, that I'm sure Coach Wells would say some of the same things, but you know, it's not many people get to do that, and it's not always easy, and I think a lot of people don't realize on the outside how hard that is. And but yeah, I'll cherish those moments forever.
Well, John, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes this morning. Always great to talk with you, and congratulations on the retirement. Well deserved. You've been an excellent teacher for a long time, and coach as well. And always we're going to miss having you on the program, but who knows? Maybe down the road, we'll get you back on to do some stuff. You never know.
Yeah, my wife's got to work for about 8 more years, so I'm still going to be around, Jim. So.
All right, that's good. That's good.
We're not heading anywhere yet.
Well, retired with plenty of time now.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to have some time on your hands. Hey, appreciate it, John. Thank you so much. Okay, take care.
Okay. See you guys.
All right. Bye. John Sedanich. My apologies to Josh King, by the way. I forgot Josh was there in between the period of time with
two-year run there.
It seems like Josh has been the AD forever at Central High School. So I just like, that's all right. He was the coach for two years.
Ryan Hayden. Well, he took over for Ryan Hayden there. Randy Powell
was the AD. Yes. All right. We have Steve Ryer coming up, so we have to get to that. Time right now for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I like having Dan Patrick on a little bit tape delayed in the afternoons for us on our show, on our station, because usually I hear things that he says in the afternoon that we tend to have the same opinion at times in the morning, and it's like, oh, feel a little validated. Like what he said about Jason Kelce being courted by ESPN.
So according to Andrew Marchand, ESPN is interested in Jason Kelce. If he asked me, hey, you worked there for 18 years, I would say you have to be ready for what they're going to ask you to do. You don't just come in and do Monday Night Countdown. There's so much more they're going to ask you to do. And it's called the car wash for a reason. That you go in you're going to be on this show and this show and this show and this show. You're at their demand. I mean, Troy Aikman has to do things with the mothership where he didn't have to do that when he was with Fox. That's what happens. And, you know, Charles Barkley asked me about it. And I said that ESPN is not the place for you because I want to hear Charles one time. I don't want it to be watered down that you're hearing it three or four times over the course of a day. If you go there, you have to be geared up to, I really like being on TV. I really like being on radio. I really like doing somebody's podcast. And if Jason Kelce is interested in that, then that can be the place for him. I wouldn't advise him to go there because I think he's a unique voice right now. And I would want to have one place where you would hear him.
That sounds pretty familiar. To be honest, that sounds exactly like what we said
that's
on Tuesday.
We were talking yesterday. It's like he's going to be asked to do an awful lot, more than he's going to want to probably do. Mm-hmm. All right, 747, Delta baseball coach Steve Ryer is going to join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line, 970-242-1340. Talking Delta Panthers sports on the Jim Davis Show.
And joining us right now, Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team. Good morning, Steve. How are you doing today?
Great, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry we're a little bit late today. It's been a busy morning with John Sedanis joining us. Talk about his retirement. But your ball club played yesterday, 10-2 loss to Montezuma Cortez. And so is your take on Durango coming up on Saturday? It's a day where offensively the Panthers of Montezuma Cortez able to put together a pretty good offensive day against your club.
Yeah, we didn't pitch well. We struggled. We put too many guys on base free, and anytime you do that, it's a recipe for disaster, you know. And we tip our caps to them, swung it pretty well, but just too many guys on base free, and then we didn't do a very good job at the plate either.
Ryan Bynum with a couple of hits for you yesterday. Brad Lejo with he drove in a run yesterday, scored a run yesterday for you, and he went 1-for-3 at the plate. But what were they seeing that was causing them problems yesterday against Montezuma Cortez?
A little soft thrown left-hander, we just went completely away from our approach and got the big eyes and started trying to pull the ball too much instead of working away. And, you know, their two best players defensively, their third baseman and shortstop, and they're both exceptional ball players. And, we rolled over balls that they made great plays on, and we hit some balls hard up the middle they made great plays on. But, all in all, we got away from our approach, and, we've got work to do at the plate. We know that. We're kind of in familiar waters. This is about where we were last year, and we've got a few adjustments to make to get where we want to be.
Yeah, at 2-3 right now, and like we've talked about, of course, you made the run all the way to the Final Four last year. Similar situation to last year, and that's, well, it's not the place you'd like to be right now, Steve. It does, like you said, provide an opportunity. You've been there, you've done that, you're able to get back on track after a slow early season start.
Absolutely. We played some really good teams. The Castleview team is an exceptional team. Falcon is a very good team. Rifle's a good team. And we've played some big arms early, and that's a little bit of our hitting struggle, but we do that intentionally, so we can see some quality arms early, and hopefully that rides us through the rest of the year. And I think once we make our adjustments and stay positive all the way around, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Well, right now, you of course you'll have Durango coming up out of the Southwestern League. They're 5-2 right now, and they've been hitting the ball pretty well. They've 347 batting average for the Demons right now, Steve.
Yeah, they're swinging it pretty well. I had an opportunity to watch them, in our Luke Olson Bruins Memorial. I got to watch them one game, and, they do swing it pretty well. Durango always just has really good athletes, and they put pressure on you, and if you make plays, you're in good shape. If not, it's going to be a long day, and, that's both defensively and at the plate. So, we've got to get better before Saturday for sure, but we got a bunch of boys that aren't afraid of hard work, and I think we'll get ourselves ready to go by Saturday.
Yeah, Oscar Romero for them, the sophomore, is off to a sensational start. He's already knocked in 10. They've also had another sophomore that's played really well, Dylan Burns, that has driven in 10 runs as well. He's got five triples, so they've got some good hitters up and down that lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. They swing it very well. Like I said, they always have really good athletes, so we've got to pitch well. You know, that's bottom line is we definitely have to pitch better this Saturday than we have the last couple of games.
We're talking to Steve Reier, Delta Panthers baseball coach. And Steve, when you talk about your pitching, how does that look in terms of going to this weekend against Durango, who gets a ball free coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, we're gonna probably stay off of Kendall and Reed a little bit. You know, they've thrown quite a bit. We've kept their pitch numbers down, but at the same time, we need to see what some other guys can do, you know, in terms of starting role and those middle guys. So probably looking at Rip Lockhart will be starting that game on Saturday. He's thrown pretty well for us. He's given up a couple long balls, but you know, just early in the year, he's struggled locating his slider a little bit and. You know, left a couple over the plate, and they got hit a long ways. But he's also bounced back from those and made good adjustments. So he's probably going to get the start on Saturday.
All right, of course, we'll have that game this Saturday, our Highway 50 game of the week, as it switches over to the team for high school baseball season. So 102.1 in Delta, Mark Cantor have the call this Saturday on the Team Sports Network, not over on the Monkey, but on the team this Saturday. Our pregame at 10:45, first pitch at 11 o'clock as Delta takes on Durango. And Steve, I always appreciate the time. Have a happy Easter, and thanks for coming on this morning.
Thanks, Jim. You as well. Take care.
All right, take care. Steve Reier, coach of the Delta Panthers. And Steve brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. So, yes, we'll also have coming up on Tuesday, we'll have a Fruita Monument Montrose on the Team Sports Network as well. So you'll hear more of Delta Panthers, Montrose, Redhawks baseball, along with the Valley teams as well, like last night with Grand Junction and Palisade this spring right here on the team. And just a quick reminder that we'll have the Rockies tonight over on the Monkey, 95.7 here in the Valley, 93.5 in Montrose, 97.1 in Delta. Pregame at 7:30 with Rockies on deck tonight. We'll have tonight's game, tomorrow night's game, and Saturday night's game on the Monkey because of the NCAA basketball tournament, Sweet 16, which starts today at 4 o'clock on the team. All right, coming up next hour, you'll have a chance to play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is... Also go around the NFL next hour as well. Broncos adding to their wide receiver room with a former Detroit Lions. So we'll get into that coming up next hour as well. Dexter Collis, your predictions for the Rockies this season and Major League Baseball. We'll have those next hour as well. 970-242-1340. You can always listen to us online at theteam1340.com.